We left off last week discussing how is it that a woman is not manas and we believe to say that she's a nida. It seems to fly in the face of some of the principles of namanas that we spoke about in the past. Maybe that an erechot is limited in terms of namanas against the chazaka when the status quo is a certain way. Erechot doesn't have the authority to change that chazaka. So we weren't that concerned with the question because, first of all, we're not so sure that din is even true, and maybe the namanas of a woman to say she's a nida is a kizeres hakosov, and maybe a chazaka of heter is not called a chazaka. We had a lot of ways out of the problem, but the Sheshmaitz himself, the Balak Tzayis, was so bothered with this question that he came up with this tremendous chiddush by saying that in Ochinami, that a woman is not really namanas in the classic sense of the word. What her quote-unquote namanas is based on Shabi and Afshah Chitika Disura. That the same way that a person can say that my food is treif, a person can say that I'm an Eshes Ish, and they believe vis-a-vis themselves, so to the woman is believed vis-a-vis herself. Now, once she's believed vis-a-vis herself, a male, the husband can't be with her. It's not that the husband really believes her. A P did, and really, objectively, the husband doesn't really have to believe her. The only thing is that there's no practical way for him to be with her without her violating her risk her. Therefore, a male, the woman is quote-unquote no manas. That was the yisod of the Sheir Shemaitza. So based on this yisod of the Sheir Shemaitza, that the suggestion of the Sheir Shemaitza, far from really yisod, because many disagree, but according to at least his suggestion, that a woman isn't really namanas based on the regular rules of namanas, but it's rooted in the rules of Shavanav, Shechatik and Yisura. The Sheir Shemaitza then goes on to explain another phenomenon that we find about when a woman states that she's in need. The Gemara in the second paragraph of Ksubas tells us that within the sugya of Shavi and Afshay, if a person makes a statement of Shavi and Afshay, they can change it. They can change it if they explain away why they said what they said. That's what's called an aloha, an amasla. We spoke a little bit about this in Uchaz Nida. An amasla means that I give a good enough explanation as to why I made the previous incriminating statement. So the example that the Gemara gives is, let's say a woman walks into Bezin, she's walking around telling everybody that she's, let's see about the Bezin, she's walking around telling everybody that she's an Eshes Ish. So the aloha is that even though she doesn't really have an amasla to say that, she's an Erechot, that should be Erev, etc., but Shavi and Afshe, Chetich and Yisura will not prevent her from getting married. We're not going to bring Masada Kedushin of her because we're concerned that maybe really she is an Eshes Ish. Even though she doesn't really have namanas, that's the Chiddush of Shavi and Afshe. What if 6 months later, she tells us, though, the reason why she said she was an Eshes Ish was because people were hakana for Shidduchim, and she didn't want to be bothered. She was waiting for Sefer a better Shidduch. So instead of being bombarded by Halavai, that's usually the other way around, whatever it is. So instead of the woman being bombarded with Shidduchim, so she tells everyone she's an Eshes Ish, everyone should leave her alone. But then 6 months later, when she really wants to get married, then she comes and tells us, by the way, what I said was for the following reason. So the Gemara says this really happened. Maisa Shara Kachoya, and the Chachamim raised the question. The question was brought up to the great Rabbanim in the time, the Gemara says. The question, Hela Rabbi Acha Sarabira, they went to the Gedolim to figure out what's the din. Does a woman have the ability to retract from her previous statement? And the Gemara says yes, that she can retract, because Kevich Nasla Masla Lavara Namenas, since she explained away a good enough reason why she made that statement, so then she could change what she said. If she can't explain it away, she just says something very silly like, I was just kidding. It's a funny thing to kid about, say you're an Eshes Ish. So if she doesn't give an acceptable Masla, sufficient Masla, then we're going to have problems. But Kevich Nasla Masla, if she gives a good enough Masla, then she is Namenas to back out. And the Gemara applies that principle in Uchas Nida as well. If a woman says she says to her husband that she's a nida, and then she explains the next night, well, the reason I said it was a nida, I wasn't feeling well, a story, and I don't want to bother me, I don't want to insult you, I don't want to say, I don't want to be. She gives a good enough answer. So kevich nasla masla vera nemera. So the Gemara applies the principle of a masla both to the case of a woman who says she's mukudeshes, as well as to the case of a woman who says that she's asura. So ask the Sheikh Shmaya, this idea of a masla, we wouldn't apply this in other areas of halacha. Let's say the Moshel Edom. Edom come and give testimony in Bezin that Reuben killed Shimon. And then a week later, the Edom come back and say, by the way, the reason why we said that was for the following reason. It's a very reasonable explanation what they say. The din is tough. The din is kevin shehigit shuvin achayzim managid. Halacha is in Nuchas Edos. Once you make a statement in Nuchas Edos, it's all finished. You have Tech Ledibu. You have 2 seconds to back out. Once Tech Ledibu passed, the Edos is accepted by the Bezin. Finished. There's nothing you can explain away. All their rational explanation as to why you said what you said is lomal of lomarit. Kevin shehigit shuvin achayzim managid. So come to Shemaitim and says, what's the difference? How come when it comes to Hilchos Edos, so we find that kevin shehigit shuvin achayzim managid, you can't explain away what you said? Whereas when it comes to Hilchos Nida, you can't explain away what you said. When it comes to Hilchos saying that you were Mekudeshes, you can't explain away what you said. What's the difference between the two? So Shmaisa says the answer is obvious, that in the case of Edus, Edom had an Emonos. That's an Emonos HaTorah, Pishnei Edom Yechum Dover. So when Edom finished their story, we have been Mekabel them. We know what they're saying is true. From our vantage point, we've been Mekabel the Edus. Once it's been established that a person makes this true statement, so you can't just back out from the true statement. But in the case of Shavya Napshay, in the case of the woman who says that she's a Nida, or in the case of the woman who says she's an Eshtah, she has no Emunah. We don't believe her. We look at her straight in the face saying, we don't think you're telling the truth. But even though we don't think you're telling the truth, we're going to enforce it anyway, because you said it. That's a different type of halacha. That's not a din Emunah. That's a din of Shavya Napshay. So that type of quote-unquote Emunah of Shavya Napshay, that din is neat unto a Masla. That's not Kevin Jigit Shuvin Chosimagid. Kevin Jigit Shuvin Chosimagid is only a din on when there's an official namonos, when there's a formal namonos such as Edus. When it's not a formal namonos, it's just a shami and avshay type of halacha. That's not bound by the dinim of Kev and Shehigid. So says the Shmaisa, this is the proof positive that Hilchos Nida cannot be namonos. It's impossible to say that a woman is believed, really, really honest to goodness believed, to say that she's a Nida. That would be impossible, because if she would really be believed, then she would not be able to change her mind or change her words just by providing an amas. So that's the Shmaitz's presentation. So
he didn't come and say a week later when we testified, we're sorry, we lied because we were bribed.
Right, we don't accept them. Kevin Jigichuno Kazuma, right, we don't accept them, right. Right, the second statement is thrown out of base. Right. So that which prompted the Sheikh Shmaita to this Yisoy, that to put on two different sides of the board. On the one hand, there's a situation where a person has real honest and goodness nemanos, and then there's another case where the person doesn't really have nemanos, but it's based in Shavya Nafshay, and a master only works in one and not in the other. So the Sheikh Shmaita himself concedes that this is a machlokes Rishonim, and this is Mamash Maisa Shaykh Achoy. It was a shah that happened in the days of the Rishonim that's recorded in the Chuvas Marib and Lev in the following shops. A wild, crazy shah. We know the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Kiddushin, based on Pesukim Chumash, that a father has an emunah to say that he was Mekadesh's daughter. As Biti Nesat Yidu Shazeh, that a father is an emunah to say that he was Mekadesh either his daughter, which is a Ketana or a Nara. There are actually two halachas that are included in this pasuk. One is that the father has the ability to mekadesh his daughter when she's a ketana or a na'ara. And number two is that the father has an emunah to say that he in fact did such a thing. So the father walks to the base and he says, it's beaten us out, and she's there. So the Torah, the din is that he has an emunah. Ah, he's an eid echad, he's a father, he's a karav, he's a this, yeah. Eid of shi'a pachdush na'im. You're right. All those are true, but this is the exception to the rule. As Bidin Asati, the Torah gives a special grants a special din amonos to the father to say he was Mekadesh's little girl. Of course, nobody sane has invoked this halacha in the last thousands of years, except for a couple of years ago when some Meshuggah who was fighting out with his wife over a divorce case, so he decided to use one of his children as a bargaining chip. So he didn't do too much. So he walks into Beis Din and he announced that I was Mekadesh my little girl. A 5-year-old girl is Mekadeshah, and I'm not going to tell you who I was Mekadeshah to, so we're not even going to be able to get until you give me $500,000, whatever it was. That was his great Mishagas. So there was a whole deal in the post. It made it to the New York Times. Made it to the Times. So in the end, the post discussed whether the person really has Nemanos under these circumstances, where it's pretty clear that he's not telling the truth, and he's clearly doing this only as a bargaining chip. So that was a whole tuple in the post about whether this holds any weight with Manas. But anyway, but in the normal world of normal people, so the Torah does give them money to the father to make such a statement that is beaten as at the Shazet. So there was a Ma'isa Shoek Achoya in Provence. The Provence was in southern France, the place where the Raivid lived, the Miri lived, the Beli Rishon lived. So Ma'isa Shoek in Provence, that's quoted in the later Chuvas, that there was an individual who made a statement that has beaten us out, he says, okay, there's not that money. And then 6 months later, he explained away to us why he made such a statement. Because, I don't know, he thought his daughter was too young, she was still in the nursery, whatever, he didn't want her to get married, whatever, he gave a whole story why he said that he was Mekadesh to somebody else. He gave a whole Shlomo Torah why he said this, and then he wants to back out. And the Beis Din's listening to his words, and it sounds very reasonable. Talking with the guy sounds like he's really telling the truth now. So there was machlokes that developed in the Rishonim in Provence Does the person have the ability to do that or not? Can he back out based on what he's telling us? Or should we say, so once he made a statement, then he's believed and that's it, can't back out. So the Shmaitzer presents, what was the issue? What were the Rishonim discussing? So it sounds like the Rishonim were discussing this very Nakuna. This din is beaten in a Sat Lisha Zed. This is a din of Nemonis. The Torah says that the father is in effect like to aid them. This is a Chiddush Torah that's Nemonis. This is not Shavya Nashch Tichdi Surah. This is a din of Nemonis. And in the realm of Nemonis, one could argue that a person can never change in Nemonis. A person can never back out from Nemonis. You can't just give it a master in an area of Nemonis. So those Rishonim who held that the father cannot back out anymore, they seem to be holding that once a person is Nemon to say something, it's over, finished. Whereas the other group of Rishonim is saying, no, even though it's Nemonis, that doesn't matter, but it's not Shnei Eidim. It's not an Eidus. It's not a din of Eidus. It's a new din called Nemonis. So just because something is Nemonis doesn't mean that you can't back out. If you give it a master, you give it a master. Apishnai Meidim Yachum Dava. When it's Hilchus Eidus, then you can't back out. Then Kevin Shigachuv and Chayzu Magid. So this Machlekes and Rishonim that developed amongst the Rishonim in Provence, what's the din? Whether the din of a master is available for us even out of the realm of Shavya Nafshe, or whether a master is limited only to those cases of Shavya Nafshe, that seems to be a Machlokes Rishonim. And the Ketzost, Paul Schweitz, is taking a stand on this issue. He's working with the assumption, at least according to those Rishonim, that a master is worthless out of the realm of Shavya Nafshe, and yet the Gemara applies a master to the case of the Chuznida. Put two and two together, you see, for me, a Chuznida is not an Amonis. A Chuznida has to be an Amasla. That has to be based on Shavya Nafshe. So Chopanim, this was the whole theory of the Sheish Meitz that we developed last week, now we're supporting this week, this whole razzle-dazzle mahalach, that when a woman says that she's a Nida, she's not really an Amonis. Based on regular rules of Amonis, her statement falls short. She's against the Chazaka, and Chitaka has no Nemonis. And the only reason why she's quote unquote believed is based on Shavya Nafshe. Because the husband is stuck, he can't be with her because she's a Suratim, based on Shavya Nafshe. So the Bar Plukta of the Sheish Meitz was the Nesivas, the Chavaz Das. So the Chavaz Das and the Chuznida develops all Yisoid against this Sheish Meitz. Chavaz Das says it's not true. Nevada, a woman has Nemonis. I didn't say a woman doesn't have Nemonis to say she's a Nida. Forget, according to Tosis, that was the whole Mok of Erech and Bisurin. Everything we've been talking about for the last month has been based on Hilchos Nida. So how can you say a woman doesn't have Nemonis? And furthermore, the Chavistah says, the point we mentioned last week, the din is that if a woman says she's a Nida, and we assume she's a Nida, and the husband is Baal Leah, so he's Chayim Malkus for being Baal Leah. How can he be Chayim Malkus based on Shavya Nafshe? You don't kill people, you don't punish people based on Shavya Nafshe. So the Chavistah says the whole thing is not true. Of course, a woman is not Menis, there's no Shaila, it's against the Chazok, that's a this, that's a that, there's no Cheskazeta, there's no Chazid. You have to explain, we got to work on the details of how the Nemonis works, but to say that a woman doesn't have Nemonis and Chaznida is not correct, says the Chavistah. So if so, that a woman has real Nemonis and Chaznida, so how can she back out? Tachat, how could she give in a masla? A master doesn't work in areas of Nemonis. So says the Chavaz Das, it's not true that a master doesn't work in the area of Nemonis. A master doesn't work in Beis Din. Whenever there's a statement of Beis Din, in Beis Din, then the Din of Kev Shehigit Shuv Nechiz and Magid kicks in. This is Gezer Sakosov. You learned about this pasuk, right? Imloya given a Savona, right? Shavuot's fourth parak, right? Imloya given a Savona. That's the source for Kev Shehigit Shuv Nechiz and Magid. That once an A testifies, he can no longer back out. Where is that pasuk written? Imloya given No. That's in Parshas Vayikra, in the context of Eidus B'Beis Din. So comes the Chavaz Das and says, the din of Kevin Shehigit, the fact that you can't back out from Eidus, that means if you testified in Beis Din, then Beis Din can no longer accept any further testimony. That's the din. There's nothing to do with outside of Beis Din. Any statement that was made out of the context, out of the realm of Beis Din, is subject to reversal, provided that you explained away why you're changing your mind. You have to explain away why you said what you said in the first place. But as long as it's out of the realm of Beis Din, the din of Kevin Shigit doesn't apply. So says the Chavaz Das, when a woman tells her husband that she's an Eidah, she doesn't say it in front of Beis Din, she says it to her husband in their own house. So says the Chavaz Das, when you make a statement privately to your own husband, not in the context of Beis Din, then you can back out. Of course, there's no din of Kevin Shigit Shivin Chavazim Haggit over here. So says the Chavaz Das, the whole premise of the Shmaitz, from Mitchila V'Yatzoif, that the Nemonis of a woman to say she's a Nida is not a real Nemonis, and therefore therefore a master works. It's all based on Shavya Nafshe. Mitchila V'Yatzoif is not correct. According to the Chavaz Das, it's based on real Nemonis, and the fact that you can back out is based on the fact that it's a Nemonis Chutz Beis Din, and it's a totally different picture than the Shmaitz. So when all the dust settles, you have the Gedolei Achareinim, the Ketzaisim and the Nesivas are fighting it out in the, it's interesting because neither piece appears in the primary Sefer. It's not in the Ketzaisim and the Sheshmaitim, it's not in the Nesivas and the Chavos Das, but it's the same people. The Bala Ketzaisim and the Nesivas are fighting out the Lomdus. When your wife tells you, I'm Anida, what just happened? So again, she may not realize the Lomdus that she said, you may not realize the Lomdus, but what's happening is, according to the Ketzais, a whole set of circumstances are developing, a whole Lomdus is developing according to the Ketzais, whereas according to the Nesivas, a whole different set of Lomdus is happening. At the end of the day, everyone agrees to the facts. The facts are that the woman says she's Anida, so now she's Asura to you. The woman says she's Tahora, she's Muteris to you. If the woman gives an Amasta, the Amasta is going to work. So everything works out. All the pieces of the puzzle work. Bein L'Ketzais, Bein L'Nesivas. But in terms of conceptually, for the purposes of our shiur, how everything is fitting into place, you have two radically different approaches that is what seems to be a very elementary halacha of a woman saying she's a nida is conceptually working in two very, very different ways. That was the shiur of last week's shiur. Now we have to move on to what we want to talk about today. When we speak about the Eidech and Nevisurin, so the question becomes, who exactly is included in this rule of Eidech and Nevisurin? Who has Nemanas to say Eidech and Nevisurin? So we know, you're learning in some of the shiurim in high school, they're learning the Sugyas of Shuas Eidos. So in the Sugyas of Shuas Eidos, in the fourth parak of Shuas, so the Mishnah, the Gemara lists off, there are a lot of people who are possibly Eidos. In the third parak of Sanhedrin, not every Jewish person is partially Eidos. A lot of people are possibly Eidos. Say, Krovim, relatives of possibly Eidos, and Rishoyim of possibly Eidos, and women of Psulm Eidos, and Ketanim of Psulm Eidos, and Evid Kaini of Eidos. You got a lot of people who are, they're Jewish, but they're still possibly Eidos. A Goy is presumably for sure possibly Eidos. I say presumably. There's one sheet in Rishonim that seems to say that a Goy is Tachakosh Eidos in the Torah. Rashi is quoted in the beginning of the Sefer Gittin. So the Rishonim pilpul out a statement of Rashi that maybe a Goy is Kosh Eidos in the Torah. The Mishnah says, Beferish, that a Goy is possibly Eidos. So it could be that's a Chumah Medurabonim, but it could be Vehikamik, or then maybe even a Goy is Kosh Eidos. A very strange sheet. Most of the Rishonim, the Rambam and others say, wow, that Goy is Kosh Eidos. Can't that going to be? Even in Evid Kanani is possibly Eidos. A Kavachomer Goy is possibly Eidos. Most of the Rishonim assume a Goy is possibly Eidos. But even within people who are Jewish, so you have different situations where people are possibly Eidos. The question becomes, this psul, the Eidos, we usually identify with the parashah of Apishnayim Eidim Yochum Dover, when you have an Eidos in Beis Din. What about if it's not an Eidos, it's not two Eidim, it's not in Beis Din, it's Eidech and Bisur. Who is included and who is not included in the Nemonis of Eidech and Bisur? So there are some people who are obviously acceptable for Eidech and Bisur, even though they are possible for other Dinim of Eidos. Let's say, Lamashal Akarov, so a relative. A relative is not believed. My father tells me that the meat is kosher, not allowed to believe him. That's ridiculous. Everybody realizes that a karov is going to be kosher for Eidech and Bisurin. Why is that? Conceptually, why is that true? That a karov, that a relative is kosher for Eidech and Bisurin, yet he's possible for Eidus for Beis Din. So this pashas is based on the Gemara at the end of Maseches Bava Basra. The Gemara says, the fact that a Karov is possibly Eidos, is not because we really think he's going to lie. But the famous Gemara says, the Ilu Osu Moshe V'Yaron, Moshe V'Yaron walk at the Beis Din and testify that Ruvain broke Shimon's window. So we think Chalila Moshe and Aaron are lying. So they're, of course they're telling the truth. We know for sure they're telling the truth. But Afal Bichin, Gezeres HaKvasavi, it's a Gezeres HaMelech, that a Karov, or two Krovim together, whatever the case would be, Krovim are not acceptable for Eidos. That's the way it is, not because we really think that anybody's lying here. So that's the case. It's a Gzeres HaKosov. So that Gzeres HaKosov is only in Eidos for Beis Din. That Gzeres HaKosov is within the din of Apishnayim Eidim, Yochum Dover, and Beis Din. So the Torah tells us certain people are not acceptable. But if you're not, it's not to Eidim, it's not in Beis Din, it's a different picture of Gamrei. So then there's no reason that we should disqualify a Karov. What about other individuals who are possible the Eidos and Beis Din? Would that psul carry over to Eidech and Bisurin? So the most important question that we have, what about Noshim? Would a woman be acceptable in the realm of Eidech and Bisurin? So, L'chaora, we should follow the same line of reasoning. That the reason why a woman is psul the Eidos is probably not because she's lying, notwithstanding the chizkunis that we spoke about in the past, but the pashas advarim is that a woman is not the way choshes, that she's not telling us the truth. The Torah said that a woman's a gezeres hakosef. The Torah said that a woman can't be made in Beis Din. Some acharonim explain that it's the same reason why a melech can't be made in Beis Din. A melech can't be made. It's a pechisas hakova. The Mishnah says that a melech's not supposed to come to Beis Din. It's embarrassing for the melech's going to walk to Beis Din. That's not the proper kavod hamalchus. So some say it's
Kneis reasons. It's not appropriate. The woman called Kfurubas Be'achvinim, she's become a Shpatsirin at the Beis Din and testifying. We're going to interrogate her, question her back and forth, put her into a room and talk to her and drill her, ask her questions about the case. It's a lawyer fair. So that's the reason for the Gzeiras HaKosev. Again, you can give, that's what I always say, there's a difference between the Shabbos morning drasha, the sermon, and the Shabbos afternoon shir and halacha. So the shir and halacha is the woman who's psoliatis and basin. You want to give a drasha about it in the morning, you want to give a sermon to philosophize why it's true, and maybe that is the reason, maybe no, maybe we can derive things about tzinias from that, maybe no, but again, but the halacha stands, the din is that a woman is psoliatis. Whatever the reason is, it's a gzeres hakosuf, but it's nothing to do with nemonis. Pasha says we don't really question that the woman has any lack of, any less nemonis than anybody else. So if that's the case, then logically we should say that a woman should be nemenes for erech nem bisurim. Because erech nem bisurim, as long as there's no pagam in your nemonis, there's no reason why we shouldn't apply erech nem bisurim to you. Not only is there no reason not to, but according to Tosfos, we have every reason to. According to Tosfos, the whole mopa for erech nem bisurim is from Nida. According to Tosfos, for Safra Lola Atzma is the model, that's the source for the whole principle of Erech Nebisurin. It would be rather strange to say that a woman is not believed Bisurin, according to Tosfos. Obviously, she's believed. If that's the mokma for the whole din, so of course a woman is believed to say Erech Nebisurin. So she could tell you the food's kosher, she could tell you she was mafish trumas and maizes, she could tell you that the suit doesn't have shatness. Anytime you require Erech Nebisurin, there doesn't seem to be any reason why we should not accept a woman's statement. However, according to other Rishonim, that Erech Nem Bisurin is not derived from Nida. It's according to the Ramban, who says that you can't really learn out Erech Nem Bisurin from Nida. Nida is an exception to the rule, because the Torah had to give us a woman's nemanus and Nida, because Yevshe B'lav Ochi, how are you ever going to function? Who's going to ever know whether she went to the mikvah, she did B'dikas, she is a Nida, not a Nida. So the Torah had to make Nida as an exception to the rule. But fundamentally, the Dinim of Erech Nem Bisurin are not really derived from Nida, according to the Ramban. If that's the case, then we don't really have a mokor that a woman is believed. Should we argue? Maybe not. Should we argue that maybe Tach woman is not believed? Maybe we should say, Nochidami. If a woman says the meat's kosher, she's not believed. If a woman says that the trumas and mice is taken off, she's not believed. Would anybody say such a thing? So the Rishonim explained that it's very, very hard to say such a thing. It doesn't seem to be correct. Mice and b'chol yom seems to contradict that. Everybody goes home, they eat supper. The wife told you the chicken's kosher, the chon's kosher. You assume that she's telling you the truth. So if you hold that the mock of Erech Nebisurin is not really learned out from Nida, so why should that be so? So there's some Rishonim who say that the reason why a woman is believed by Erech Nebisurin is not really that she's believed. It's not really Erech Nebisurin. That's not really the format. The emes is that to be neman for Erech Nem Bisurin, you have to be a kosher aid. And just as in Uchas and Mominus and Dov Shabi Erev and Din Nefashis, there's a din that a woman is not an aid. It could be that a woman is not an aid in Erech Nem Bisurin as well. So why is a woman believed to say the meat is kosher? It's based on a different story. A woman is believed to say the meat is kosher because there's a rove. There's an unbelievable rove that she's telling you the truth. What's the unbelievable rove? So the Rishonim quoted Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim and Daftes. The Gemara says, let's say you have a chover in the old days, a chover meant somebody who was neman, particularly in the realm of Trumas and Maisras and in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. They indicated a very serious dedication to the Shmiras HaMitzvahs, even the difficult mitzvahs in the realm of Terumas and Maisras, in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara, and they went in front of the Beis Din, they were makabel, it's called Divrei Chaveiros, so they were officially declared to be a chover. So the Jewish people were broken down to two categories in the olden days. They were the Chaverim, and they were the Ami Aretz. So the Ami Aretz were the people who hadn't yet made this demonstration. They hadn't declared that they're going to be so ayayay neman. They weren't not from, they were Ami Aretz. I mean, doesn't necessarily mean they didn't know how to learn. Ami Aretz meant that they were the regular Pashtun people who weren't so careful as they should be in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. They weren't so careful in the realm of Tumas and Nisus. So the all the clients were broken down to these two categories. With a lot of Nafkaminas Ladina. Let's say Lamoshel that an Amu Aretz isn't believed if he tells you that he was Marfush Maisras, or an Amu Aretz doesn't have certain Amonis in the realm of Tumah V'Tahara. That's what we say in the davening when we venture Chodesh. So we say Chaverim Kol Yisrael. And we're looking forward to the time when everyone's going to be Chaverim. Everyone's going to be very, very Machpin in the mitzvahs. So why do we say a davening in the Brichas Rish Chodesh? Because the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Chagiga that these distinctions between the Chaverim and the Ami Aretz were lifted during the Regel, the time of Aliyah Regel. Because during the rest of the year, when these distinctions existed, that some people had nemanus and tuma vitar and others didn't, so then you had a big problem because you couldn't really eat in other people's houses. If I'm a chaver and you're not an aretz, so I have to assume all your food is tame. So I can't really eat. If I want to be machpid and tuma vitar, again, I don't have to be machpid and tuma vitar. As long as I'm not eating karbonas and trumas and maise sheni, regular chulin, you're not machuyev tit vitar, but it's considered to be a nice thing. It's considered to be a midas chasidus to observe the dinim of tuma vitar even for chulin. So there were many people who used to accept this chumra upon themselves to eat chulin betara. So now I'm limited who I can eat with. So I can't really be so friendly with you because if you're an amaretz, all your stuff is potentially tummy. You're not so careful about these dinim, and I'm tahor. So in the rest of the year, okay, so you had this phenomena. Some people wouldn't eat in other people's houses. But in the days of Aliyah Regel, this would make life very, very uncomfortable for people. Everyone's coming to Yerushalayim together. People are camping out. They're living in their tents in the middle of the streets of Yerushalayim, and people are eating by other people's houses, and everyone's eating together. It's going to make things very, very low na'im. Some people are eating other people's foods, not other people's foods. So therefore, the Chachamim made a takana that for Regel, kulum chaverim him. That since these are all chumras midrabanan, and they're all mailas and chidurim and midas chasidus, so you have to observe a midas chasidus only if it doesn't have certain negative repercussions to it. So here there would be a repercussion that's going to, you could have a situation, people are going to be fighting on Yontif. So it's not right. We don't want people on a Lila regular wants to get on each other's nerves. I'm too from, I can't eat your food, my food's mahadri, not mahadri. It doesn't create a nice climate for Klal Yisrael. So therefore, in Yontif, Chazal made a takana, everyone's chaver. That even those people you wouldn't trust the rest of the year, Mika, Diminatori, you can really trust them. Again, it's not that they were feeding you tray. No one was eating chazer over here. It was questions of Lamal, Yale, certain chumras and Hidurim, the Rabbanans. So the Chacham did away with certain chumras, the Rabbanan, at the time of Regla in order to make the uniformity in Klal Yisrael. Chazal couldn't envision that you'd have a situation on Yom Tov some people wouldn't be eating by other people. Just like we have, right? I mean, you shouldn't have such a situation that some people can't eat by in other people's houses. So anyway, I hope I get back to the story. So that's why when we benchus chodesh, so what we're saying is chaverim kol Yisrael. That's a code phrase for saying that we're looking forward that we should have a aliyah regular again because we'll be mekadesh the chodesh. We want to have the real aliyah regular. We want to have a real kiddush chodesh. We don't want to just have the chazan getting up and singing Yehiratzon in a nice voice. We want to have the beis din b'makabel yedim. We want to have a real yomtiv with chaverim kol Yisrael that works. The whole hakol mikol kol. That's the tefillah that we have. So anyway, getting back to the story. So there are chaverim and there are amya aretz. So the Mishnah says, it's quoted in the first Perek of Psachim, what if you have a chaver, you have a person who for the last 20 years, we've been assuming that he's very, very from, he's neman in the realm of Tumas and Maisus and Tumas and Vitar, he's a very, very religious person, and he dies, chaver shemes, and we walk into his house, we see there's a lot of fruit in this, on his table, there's vegetables in his refrigerator, there's a lot of stuff in the house, and we have no idea, was he mafresh Tumas and Maisus, was he not mafresh Tumas and Maisus? So the Mishnah says, you can assume that he was mafresh Tumas and Maisus. Why? Chaver shemes, so everything is considered to be v'cheskes mesukon, because chazocha ein chaver meniach davishen mesukon mitachas yadoi. That a person who's from, a person who's so makban mitzvahs, is not going to leave tray for food around his refrigerator. He's not going to leave food around on the table that people may by mistake eat, unless he's mafresh shumas and maisvahs. So a chaver, someone who's careful in this area, is going to, every time he goes and gets food, every time he brings food into the house, he's first thing he's going to do is going to be mafresh shumas and maisvahs. He's not going to leave tevel around the house. So therefore, you can assume that any fruit that you find in his house has already been maisvah. That's the din that appears in the Mishnah.
I don't understand. Why does the question come up in connection with someone who's passed away? What is that?
No, if he's alive, then we can ask him. He'll tell us that he was maized it. But the problem is he died. So we walk to his house, we see there's a tray of apples sitting on his table. So we have no idea what trumas and maized was taken off or not. So the answer is yes. The answer is they were taken off. Let's say the equivalent would be, let's say you walk to somebody's house today. Person died, you walk to the house, you see there's a piece of chicken on the table. Can you assume that's kosher or not? So the answer is yes. You assume the guy's a shomer Torah mitzvah, he's not going to have tray for food in the house. That's why every once in a while it happens. Sometimes by mistake you go to the store, you buy something, you come home, you realize that it's not kosher. So you should try to either give it back or give it to the cleaning or whatever you should do with it. But I always try to put a note on the thing. I mean, I put a piece of paper, a tape onto the food that says, treif, not kosher, because they shouldn't violate this din. Someone walks into your house, you never know. Someone walks into your house, they see something in the fridge, and they assume that it's kosher. So everyone should realize that if it turns out that there is something not kosher in the house, it should be discernible, because otherwise that throws into question your chaverus, that throws into question your shmir b'mitzvahs. So come to Hashem and say, what kind of din is this that the Chavish makes that all this food is kosher? Based on what? How do I... What's the nemonis here exactly? There's no erech nebisurin, the person's dead. So how could I trust, how could I eat the food? So the answer is, it's a rove. It's a chazal figured out. It's a rove de leisa kabon. There's an overwhelming odds are that the chaverim don't leave non-maisir food around the house. So that's a rove. So the same way you rely on rove to eat a piece of meat that you find on the floor in between the 10 butcher stores, you rely on rove not to check for treifas. So you rely on rove to assume that most probably 99% chance that this person maisir. That's what somebody shouldn't say. That's the reason why we believe women. A woman comes and tells you that the food is kosher. I walk to my house and my wife tells me that the chicken is kosher. So based on pure erechen and bisurin, the real absolute halach of erechen and bisurin, taka, the woman is not nemenes. Mikradin, according to some Rishonim, she's not nemenes. The same way that a woman isn't nemenes to say that Reuven broke Shimon's window, she has no nemenes in terms of Bichus Eidus, so a woman doesn't have nemenes in erechen and bisurin either. But the reason why she's believed is because lemaisa, she's probably telling the truth. There's a 99% sure. I know my wife. She's really religious lady. She wouldn't feed me treifas, so that's a rove. So that's a 99% chance that the food is in fact kosher. That's enough of a rove for me to rely on. It's not going to be any worse than the chavash emes that you can assume that chazok al chavash einem aniach davash emesuk b'tachas yadoi. So when all the dust settles, the mice of the din is that you can believe in erechet to say the food is kosher, and you can believe your wife to say the din is kosher, either based on erechet, based on other things. Mice in both cases, you can assume that it is in fact the case. What about other individuals? Let's say a common scenario, let's say a katan. Say a child under the age of bar bas mitzvah tells you that something is kosher. So that already becomes more problematic. So here, the Rishonim quote the Gemara Maseches Pesachim with Avdalit, where the Gemara draws a distinction between the Raisas and the Rabbanans. If the question, area in question is only a din mit the Rabbanan, then the katan has nemonis. The Gemara gives B'dikas Chometz as an example. B'dikas Chometz is only mit the Rabbanan, because min haTorah could just do bitl Chometz. So the fact that we check the Chometz, even though we do bitl, is only a chumah mit the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, therefore, a katan is believed. If a katan tells that he did b'dikas chametz, and again, if a 3-year-old tells you he did b'dikas chametz, he probably doesn't know what that means. But if your 12-year-old son tells you he did b'dikas chametz, mikra din, you can rely on him, because b'dikas chametz is only midirabanan. So the Rish Taisus and that sugya is medayeh, but you see that if it would have been deraisa, takla, he wouldn't have been believed. So the basic rule is, the Shulchan Aruch is that when it comes to deraisas, we don't believe ketanim. When it comes to derabanans, we do believe ketanim. That's why there's usually a big sign up in most of the kelim mikvahs that say, a boy under the age of 13, a girl under the age of 12 should not be tovel kelim unless under the supervision of an adult. It's not that a kata can't tovel kelim. If a kli falls into the water by itself, it's also kosher, according to most of the Rishonim. Tefillah doesn't require a kavanah l'shem tefillah. So most of the Rishonim say that a kotan objectively can tovel kelim, but he's not neman to say he was tovel kelim. So if I'm sitting in the car and I send my kid in with the silverware, and he's tovel the kelim, he comes out, and he tells me, Abba, I was tovel the kelim. I can't really believe him, because it's a shalva deraisa. So Shulchan Aruch quotes the Trumas Hadeshim that says that tefillas kelim is deraisa. Therefore, the kotan doesn't have netmanos. But if it would only be glass, which is only midirabanan, then Mikra didn't post him say that a kotan would be believed. If he knows what he's doing, he would be believed, because by dirabanan, stakal kotan is ne'amon. So that's why we usually try to avoid the ketanim tovel kelim. Some tiny that it's not a good idea to have ketanim tovel kelim, even if you're there, because you're losing the mitzvah, because there's no shlichus for a katan. It's my kli, so I'm giving it to the katan. It's like the kli falling into the water by itself. Why should I lose the mitzvah? So again, I have to figure out how to do it. When my kids, the little ones, want to sometimes tovel kelim, so no problem. I tovel the kli first, and then after I tovel, say, yeah, now the minig is you tovel it. After it's already been toveled, they always want to make a bracha also. That becomes a little bit tricky. But okay, not for now. But in terms of nemanus, so a katan doesn't have nemanus. And based on Erech Nevisurin in the realm of at least of the Araises. What about other people? What about our Rasha? Someone who wouldn't be accepted for Eidus and Beis Din. So there's a Rasha of Nemanus or not. So here the Mishnais tell us in Maseches Bechoros that it depends. It depends whether it's that area of Halacha or not. If a person is what's called a Mumar, and that area of Halacha is a Mumar Davarechad, then he doesn't have Nemanus in that area. So let's say, for example, a person doesn't eat kosher. He may maybe keep Shabbos, maybe there's other things, but he doesn't keep kosher. So he's not believed to say the food is kosher. He can't, if he himself eats in Chazer, he can't be the Mashkiach in the store. So if somebody is not Neman and that is not careful in that area of Halacha, he doesn't have Nemanus in that area of Halacha. But he does have Nemanus in another area of Halacha. Just because he's a mumul davar echad doesn't mean that he's not neman in other areas. Let's say, for example, you have a person who eats kosher. He's always machber in kosher, but he's not machber in shatnas. He wears shatnas suits. So he could be the mashkiach in the restaurant, but he can't be the shatnas checker. How can he tell you that shatnas is the suit doesn't have shatnas? If it doesn't mean anything to himself, he's not machber on those areas of halacha. But let's say you have somebody who's they keep Shabbos, they keep kosher, but they don't observe taras mishpacha. Not because they're not married. It means they're married. They don't observe hilchos deit. They don't observe taras mishpacha. So that woman can't be one of the women who works in the mikvah. Because when a woman works in the mikvah, so she's invoking the principle of Erech and Misurin. She's telling the woman, your hair went under the water. I'm testifying that your hair went under the water. Or I'm telling you that you set up the mikvah filter properly. She does a lot of things. Women who work in the mikvah invoke Erech and Misurin all the time. So if you're a from woman who observes Taras Mishpacha, then you're Neman. Either based on Erech and Misurin or based on the robe, whatever the Nemanus is. But if you personally don't care about the Seir of Halachas, then what kind of Nemanus do you have? So you could be the Mashkiach in the store in terms of kashrus, but you can't be the Mashkiach and the mikvah. Again, whether it's a good idea, you should be the Mashkiach. That's a different story. But in terms of pure Nemanus, so Mumur Davar Echad is Neman outside of that area that he's a Mumur in. What about if a person is a Mumur L'cholotar Kula? If a person has already expressed, he's shown behavior that indicates that he doesn't take any of the mitzvah seriously, so then he becomes a Mumur in all areas, and he has no Nemanus in all areas. That's the problem when you have a Mechal Shabbos. You have someone who's a Mechal Shabbos, so then he's a Mumul Chol Tarkula. Mechal Shabbos for Hesh is a Mumul Chol Tarkula. So even though he may tell us, I'm rabbi, I'm very careful in kashrus, I would never eat non-kosher. But the nice guy drives on Shabbos. The guy drives on Shabbos. He's a Mumul Chol Shabbos. The bottom line is he doesn't have nemanus now to say anything. Once a person has exhibited such behavior that he doesn't care about Shabbos, so then we have to be chayshish, that he doesn't care about anything. And he won't think twice about lying in the realm of kashrus either. So a person is a Mechal Shabbos, so then he wouldn't be acceptable to be a Mashkiach in a store. She can't be the mikvah lady. You can't do anything. You can't check shatnez. Once you're Mechal Shabbos, so then you lose all nemanus in all areas of halacha. A person is an Ovid of Edizara. They're an Ovid of Edizara, but they eat kosher. It's a stira. So once they're an Ovid of Edizara, they become by definition a Mumul L'chol HaTarakula. Sometimes you have a situation where a person is a Mumul L'chol HaTarakula, but we still think that they're telling us the truth. We not just think, we're really convinced that they're an Emma says they're telling us the truth. They're telling us that the food is kosher. So that's what the post can say, that if you have such a situation, then you can invoke the old principle. Just as a woman, according to many Rishonim, is not really an Erech or Nem Bisurin. But if I know for a fact she's telling me the truth, there's a 99% chance she's not lying, so I rely on Rove. So that's what many post can write. A very, very common child, this man is a person who's about Shuva. So he goes home to his parents' house. And his parents are Bechal, not Shuva, Kashas, not Shuva, Shavas, Gordish from Gordish. But they know when the kid comes home, so the woman, the mother comes and says, I'm telling you, this is an Empire chicken I bought, and I cooked it in a separate pan, and it has plastic silverware, and everything. I'm telling you, the oven, I kashed the oven from them. She tells you, everything is kosher. So technically speaking, the mother doesn't have any nemanus. She's not from. She doesn't keep kosher herself. She doesn't keep shop. She has no nemanus. But we know for a fact a woman is a good woman. She's an honest person. She would never lie to her child. She wants the child to feel comfortable in the house. So we know from the context that she's obviously telling the truth. So the poskim is not as I say that. That's also good enough. It's not a dechen and bisur. It's a rove. The rove is that under such circumstances, the person is telling the truth. Again, you have to know when that rove applies, when it doesn't apply. Let's say it doesn't apply to selling a restaurant. There's a rove that the non-frum restaurant owner is telling us the truth. Mapitom. They said, what's the rove? They said, if tray for chicken is cheaper than kosher chicken, he'll buy the tray for chicken. So there's no rove. So there's no, we have no reason to believe that he's telling us the truth. Maybe yeah, maybe no. So then, tachyadid hochestem honest. Then erechad. If the person fails as an erechad, then you have to have a mashkiach in there to be made that the food is in fact kosher. So sometimes you can invoke this rove, la halacha, and sometimes not, depending on whether the rove is applicable or not. So, kol panim, we have a lot of application of a maisa of erechad and bisurin, a lot of lumdas in erechad and bisurin, and we invoke these principles that I have to assume all the time. Okay.